Hi, you're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Well, hey, and thanks for joining us today on Boggy Talk. It's President's Day, well, day after, yeah. Not the weekend anymore.
Did we say Christmas Day after?
Christmas Day after.
You really love President's Day.
I do, because we have a holiday, and it's so exciting, but we're back at work, so...
Yeah. How did you guys celebrate President's Day? Did you guys dress up?
I went to Nashville for President's Day.
Oh, that's right. You were there
for the executive committee.
What were you doing there?
It's kind of sounding cool, right? Yeah. For a meeting.
We reenacted some famous scenes from Congress and presidents and our home. I'm just kidding. I know why we combined Washington. We used to celebrate Washington's birthday and Lincoln's birthday. So we just combined it in to one holiday, and now we all get it off. So
okay.
Oh, I thought we were celebrating Trump's birthday.
I was totally it will probably be renamed day. That by the end of this.
This is true. We are renaming a lot of things recently. So
my Apple Map still says Gulf of Mexico.
Okay, I was wondering. Stuff.
I haven't checked, but I heard Apple hadn't changed, but Google has. So
really,
depending on what country you're in, like if you're in Mexico, it will say Gulf of Mexico.
Really,
that's what someone
well,
said.
Well, yeah.
I haven't gone to Mexico to try, but if anybody wants to pay for that, I'll go and test it out.
So, like, if you're in Mexico, does Texas on the map say Old Mexico?
Old Mexico, right. That's funny.
Probably not.
Maybe.
Okay.
Doubt it.
Probably
okay.
not.
Yeah.
Well, this coming week on Sunday, we're going to have a very special night.
That's right.
Vision night.
Vision yes. night.
So yeah, why should people come? Why should
because
they be
Because you never know what people are going to see
okay.
On vision night.
Yes. That's right.
Why should That's right. they come? Are you
oh, why should they come?
Yeah, sorry, why should they be there?
I didn't hear the why.
Yeah.
I just got fixated
because
on your...
So what we do at Vision Night
I was like, what are you talking about? You were kind of like adjusting the
I was adjusting volume to get Kelly's microphone louder.
Okay.
Sorry.
Because okay.
we're loud. She's
and turn
not.
Mine down. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So
we'll see what vision the Lord gives us. We just don't know what
wait,
to expect yet.
We wait until 4:59 to see what he's going to reveal for the rest of the year.
We're just standing in there like this, and then he gives it to us, and we walk on stage, and we're like...
boom.
The most exciting the then. So I just already had all those visions pre-made for the slides
that's right,
that y'all will be showing.
God gave you a free
Oh, wait. Dang, she just ruined our
Sorry.
You know, one of the things we always do is kind of year in review, kind of where we are in 2024, the year prior, tracking in our 10-year goals, and then really what's ahead. And this
some
year,
big things.
Some big things ahead. And you should just come to Vision Night and find out what those things are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
Yes, definitely. Okay, this is a throwback to last week because, you know, we have to talk about it. But our predictions were pretty off with the Super Bowl.
I said the Eagles would win.
You
did.
I said it would
no,
be.
No, I think you said the Chiefs were going to win.
I said that I want the Eagles to win, but I think the Chiefs will. So I could claim
okay.
both.
Oh.
But score-wise, weren't
we
like all really off?
I was not
predicting
a blowout. Yeah, we were way off with that. And I was never, well, I shouldn't say never, I was glad to be wrong about the score. It was great to see the Eagles win.
And, I don't know.
Yeah.
So I was at the youth party, right? I ended up hanging around because there was way more students than we thought
there
would be.
There were a lot of students there. It was great.
And then the game was really boring. So the students for 4 hours sitting through a boring game.
They were watching it.
So they were not bad. We have amazing students, amazing families. Except for you. You know who I'm talking about. No, I'm just
not
kidding.
But
they don't listen to Boggy Talk, I'm sure. Whoever that would be, I literally didn't have anyone in mind. But so it started to get a little like, oh, man, I wish this game was closer.
Yeah. A little more,
students would care and not be bouncing off the walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, back to our regular program schedule. Here we are.
Yes. Here we are.
Last Sunday, you spoke on Joshua 5.
Joshua chapter 5.
Yeah, so that was a fun sermon for
Most of
you.
It.
Most of
I have
it.
A few verses to take next week.
Yes,
so
the end of chapter 5 is coming next week.
Yeah.
About the angel armies. And
yes.
Yeah.
Are you going to sing the messed up version of God of Angel Armies?
Yes.
How's that lyric go again?
There's a guy. He's basically, if you're there's like Instagram accounts, there's one called Worship Fails, and the funniest one you'll ever see is this guy leading the song Angel Armies, and he basically starts to sing Arms of an Angel.
Oh,
he's like,
yeah,
Arms of Angels. Like the wrong lyrics. And he also looks really awkward, too.
Arms of the Angel.
It's so bad. It's so bad.
Yeah, that's rough. So you want to, for anybody who maybe wasn't there, kind of give us like a brief synopsis about
Well, James strategically handed off this passage because he preached through Galatians already and was just really tired of talking about circumcision.
Yeah, that's right. That's good.
So,
that's good.
So chapter 5, they've crossed over the Jordan, and they're in the promised land, and the enemies are there. That they knew that they were there. They sent out the spies. They saw the enemies. God's promised them victory. He's promised this land to them, and so really, this passage, what two things we see in it. Instead of going and taking over the land, immediately God tells them to stop and to circumcise themselves and then they celebrate the Passover because mm-hmm. it's happening mm-hmm. at that time of the year. So really, if you're thinking about this in terms of a narrative and a story, hey, there's this land I promised you. You were disobedient. You wandered in the wilderness. You finally like crossed the Jordan. You're there. Go take the land. And there's bad guys, and you're going to have to take over the bad guys. So you would think, practically speaking, right. they would be ready, mm-hmm. getting themselves ready for battle.
Yeah.
And if you could think of things that probably don't help you get ready for battle, it would be circumcision. Not a very practical tactic for preparation to take on enemies.
Yeah, right.
So it's a very impractical thing. And one of the things we've said is just that God like calls us to do like impractical things mm-hmm. as worship mm-hmm. To him. So that was one of the themes okay. We were talking about. Mm.
So that kind of brings us to how practical should worship be? I mean, obviously it looks very different for us now.
Well, we make... this is going to make some terrible circumcision joke.
Yeah.
But I just can't.
Leave it alone. Leave it alone. Not, leave it there.
You know, I think in general, you think about like our own lives. Like, let's just talk about the corporate worship. We could talk about this on several levels, the personal life, the corporate life of worship. Really, there's a lot of things about our lives as believers that in the world's eyes would seem very impractical.
That's right, yeah.
But God tells us to do them. Mm-hmm. Let's just start with, I think, what may be the most easy example, money. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, God commands us to give.
Right.
And it really kind of makes no sense from the world's eyes. Like, why would you give money away?
A substantial percent really should be
giving. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. We should be. And so I think that's an example of that. That's not very practical for, you know, the things I may need to get or buy or not maybe need, but want to have. And mm-hmm. it's not very practical if you're pursuing the American dream. But then you get into other things about scheduling and prioritizing serving. Yeah. You prioritize with these markers mm-hmm. of a disciple, our discipleship essentials, mm-hmm. worship, grow, serve, give, reach. Mm-hmm. You could address it from those things. And really, we have to land at a place where we say, God, like, yeah, this may not be the most practical thing for my own goals, but I submit to mm-hmm. you. Yeah. I yield mm-hmm. to you. Like whatever you're asking me, I can trust you because you're God. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? You mentioned that like with individuals and families, what do you think more collectively as a church? Mm-hmm. What are some of the impractical things that God asks us to do as a church?
So I would say... go and make disciples of all nations, baptize. I mean, when you think about it, like that takes a lot of work. And if our goal, one of the things we say every week is that we don't want to grow a church, we want to build a kingdom. So if we were like, hey, as a church, we just want to be the biggest, best church. Well, to give significant resources away to other churches and church planting, that's mm-hmm. not practical. But if our desire is to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, mm-hmm. man, it is the most practical thing we can do. So it really is this inversion of priorities. Mm-hmm. I think even speaking to our own worship service, if we wanted to, what's the right word? Like practically speaking, if our goal was just to be bigger and better, mm-hmm. We would possibly change some of the things we do on Sunday mornings, you know, mm-hmm. to make things seem cooler, mm-hmm. to make themes, you know, even the teaching. Sometimes it's not necessary. I mean, we preach expositorily because
you would not have preached Joshua 5.
Yeah, Joshua 5. show me the seeker sensitive church that's preaching Joshua
right.
5. Right?
There's Sundays I'm like, are we the only church in America that is looking at this text right now? That also is like, can we grow?
Can we reach people? Can we engage people? Not just like, yeah, who cares?
And there are. I mean, there's other faithful churches.
Absolutely. I think, you know, like it shifts your focus and your priority, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's an example.
You keep saying the right word, priority. I think that it doesn't mean that, you know, there aren't things that factor in to help us be effective and efficient and all that stuff. But what is the priority? I often say, I actually used to sing this, like, kind of joking around in the tone of Video Killed the Radio Star, and it would be Pragmatism Killed the Biblical Church, because I think a lot of churches sacrifice biblical faithfulness for pragmatics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, I've talked before about another church in this area who was talking to me about growth we had, and they were like, yeah, we just have learned, like, what helps churches grow now is if you focus on discipleship. And so we're going to start focus on discipleship. And you guys have kind of figured that out already. And I'm like, I didn't say anything in the conversation. I was like, not because it grows the church, because
right.
the Bible says
yeah.
so. Like,
yeah. In fact, I think you really could make an argument that if you're going to really focus on discipleship and like creating, like, or not creating, but helping people become who they've God created them to be,
yeah.
and like our essentials, worship, if you're
right.
going to dial down into those, it actually is going to slow your growth down.
It
because
is.
You care
true.
About healthy disciples. It really
yeah.
will.
Yeah, I was even thinking about, you know, as Vision Night, Sunday night, we're talking about future facilities, mm-hmm. and I was thinking about, like, how I do not want it to become the thing. Mm-hmm. And that might mean that it goes slower,
mm-hmm.
even than we plan. But I'm like, but I would rather it not become the thing and go slower.
Yeah.
And that is not expedient. That is not pragmatic. I was just having a conversation with a couple of our staff, like, just about ways to create more space on Sundays. And I was like, you know, look, I mean, yes, that is the right answer if our goal is simply how do we get more people in? But, like, if you make those decisions, it's going to change things here. And not that I'm against change, but we really need to ask, like, is that what God wants us to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that what the scripture, are we going to carry out? Are the things that are healthy because of the scripture? Like, you know, again, that's a debate. Some of these things are
right.
debatable, and some of those things are not debatable, mm-hmm. like skipping over text and not teaching certain things of sin. Like,
Yeah, I think it comes back to, like, what is your goal? And then what is – and that your goal should help establish your priority.
Yeah.
I know of a very well-known church, and one of the things they started saying as a church that when I heard it, I was like, what? They were like, we want to follow Jesus because Jesus makes us better at life. And I was like, okay, so – if you're following Jesus, like...
Is that Charlie Sheen's church?
I don't know.
Winning, and then he just, like, Jesus. Remember that? Remember
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I do. Winning. But I was
How long ago was that? Like 15 years
was,
ago?
We're
10 years ago?
Dating yourself with
yeah,
that one,
I know.
Yeah. Mm. But I was like, I mean, should following Jesus make you better at life? Yeah, because you, like, you should be better.
Especially when you say life.
Life. I'm like, life. Life.
With the air
like,
quotes.
But I'm like, but that's not the reason.
Right.
You know, and so it... Ultimately, I think what that church did was elevate pragmatism. Like,
mm-hmm.
this is, we know people want to be better at life. So we're going to package mm-hmm. Jesus in a way that engages mm-hmm. those people.
Yeah.
So I don't know that they necessarily set out with the intent to
mm-hmm.
really alter the gospel message,
mm-hmm.
but inevitably they do. You do
yeah.
when
mm-hmm.
that's your marketing. And
yeah.
So,
and I think back to, like, we're collective and we're talking about the individual. When you as a church are basically like, hey, we're here to make you have what you want in life, then you're facilitating people who don't say, well, I am going to give 10%. Well, I am going to go to church most Sundays. Like, back to our conversation last week, like, with travel sports, like, a lot of people are just like, well, going to church every Sunday gets in the way of my goal as a family.
Mm-hmm.
Going to church every Sunday gets in the way. I mean, giving money gets in the way of going,
mm-hmm.
serving gets in the way. And it's really... It's really not that. I've said that I thought that when I started following Jesus, he was going to, like, make all my dreams come true.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, following Jesus has caused me to do a bunch of things I never dreamed of doing.
Yeah.
So true.
And mm-hmm. and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And would you say that most of those things were not very practical?
Right? No.
Right? The things
None
that he calls
were,
us
yeah.
to, you're like, yeah, on paper, that really didn't make sense,
no,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
But
it's that, like,
different.
Upside down kingdom, and
mm-hmm,
I just was thinking
mm-hmm.
about, like, the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes,
yeah,
specifically. It's also, it's just not of this world,
mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
it's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well,
Well, here's a question that we have. As pastors and leaders, how do you hold in tension the worship services being for a believer and a non-believer as well?
That's a good question. Especially in light of this, like the pragmatism and the wanting it, we do want it to be engaging. And I think you could very easily err in this either way. I mean, I'll be careful in saying that because some people would say, what? You can't err in preaching the Bible. Yeah, right, if you're teaching the word. However, you should, I mean, if you're teaching it wrongly, yes, like with your own agenda. But if you, it should be done in such a way that is compelling to the non-believer. But I think, you know, and we could track you, we've talked through this in previous episodes of Boggy Talk. You can look back at trends and church cycles and, you know, the seeker-sensitive movement and the megachurch movement and then really kind of the reaction to a lot of that. And those are just trends that people follow. And I think at the end of the day, we have to say, like, what we do, like, well, let me reference it this way. In the New Testament, like, what is attractional to the non-believer about the worship? It's the believers worshiping.
That's right. Yep.
You know, it's not that the gospel message is watered down or packaged in a way that's appealing. It's that God's people are such radically different. They are so different than the culture. And when they gather together for worship, Paul has to give instructions. People were so passionate in worship. Paul has to give instructions about orderly worship. And his whole point is that it needs to be intelligible to the non-believer.
Yeah. Right.
So that when they come, they're not like, what is wrong with these people? No, I understand what's going on. And they're so in awe of like the believer's response. And so I think,
say it louder for the pop-up churches in Santa Rosa Beach.
You know, that's right. Yeah. It's just,
there's like a there's pop-up spiritual
specific.
Church. Well, no, every month there's a new pop-up that's church true. In Santa Rosa Beach.
Because these pastors go on vacation. Yeah. They're like, God is calling me to
the spirit is leading me, you know, like, and then,
you know, I just think that, like, that is
half the church used to go to that pop-up church. All right, sorry, go ahead.
And that doesn't mean that we should
ignore. Pop-up church is not the right word.
But I'm saying it's like, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't think about non-believers. We absolutely should be thinking about non-believers when we have our worship services.
Yeah.
We should be communicating the word in such a way that it is convicting and challenging to all, but also accessible to people who have no Bible background and people who've studied the word for decades.
Yeah.
That's a challenge.
Yeah.
And I think we have to hold those things in tension, that we are constantly explaining things as we go and helping people understand what we're doing.
Yeah, I think the idea of seeker sensitive is actually a good idea. It just became
ultimate
seeker driven.
Yeah.
And the believers should be seeker driven in the way they live their lives, but the service shouldn't be seeker driven. And so, yeah, I think what you said. Yeah, it's for believers, but it should be done in a way where non-believers understand. And ultimately, I mean, it's not God might use persuasive things that I would say, but ultimately it's the demonstration of the Spirit of God in people that's going to bring salvation according to Scripture. So,
Yeah, and I think you're right. I've been to churches where they're like, we are the hospital mentality, you know, and it's like, and then I've been to other churches and they're like, well, this is just for believers only. And there's just no middle ground.
Right.
And I think,
it should be,
you know,
all of that, because believers need the hospital too.
Yeah. It's
both. Right.
Yeah. It's all
of
it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. I go back. Jason Duke says, why does the world not see their need for the gospel? It's because we don't show them our need for the gospel. Mm-hmm. And so if, like, we're gospel living, it's not just about preaching. It's about us constantly just flowing out of our words and our songs and our preaching and our teaching and our lives, like how much we need Jesus, and people begin to think, maybe I need Jesus too, you know?
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, here's another question. One of the things, and you kind of touched on this Sunday, you mentioned is the practice of remembering. So circumcision and Passover were remembrances. How do we practice and cultivate remembering today?
Yeah, I mean, on Sunday I gave like six things we need to remember, and you know, talked about like we need to remember who God is, who we are. We need to remember what God's done. We need to remember that He alone gets the glory. We need to remember. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I'm trying to remember all of them. And we need to remember that, like, the victory's already won. And so I think, like, from Israel's position in the Promised Land, like, they have to remember these things. Mm-hmm. And so tying the circumcision, I mean, in New Testament we see these in baptism. It's a parallel to baptism. And then the Lord's Supper, the Passover, and the Lord's Supper. I mean, those are practical ways we do it as church. But I think in our own space, I mentioned this briefly Sunday, but we are so conditioned to be forgetful.
Yeah.
And because of our phones specifically,
smartphone,
and our scrolling, one of the things I've realized personally, but then also actually been doing a little bit of reading about it, is how our constant access to media, it forces it, we're actually training our brains to not remember things because we can't hold all this information, and we weren't designed.
What?
Right? Like, our attention spans are shorter. We can't hold conversations. You know, it's why we're like, people are talking to us, and we're like already we're thinking of three other things, and we're like, wait, what did you say? I do that, and I feel like my own life recognizing like, we've got to make space for this.
Just kidding.
What? Huh? So practically making space for remembrance. Mm-hmm. So keeping lists, keeping journals. One of the things I've started doing, like I feel like constantly felt the need to like be productive and make the best use of my time. And so if I'm in the car, I want to be listening to something that's helping me grow or a podcast. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to be quiet in this commute right now, these 10, 15 minutes I'm in the car, and I'm just going to praise God for some things. I'm going to talk to him. Today. Like I can get so frustrated in things that happen today that I can forget to see God's goodness in the day.
It's good.
Just creating, like, intentionally creating space and margin for it.
It's good.
Yeah. Well, we have a little bit of time for a game.
Yes, I have a game.
Game time. What?
It's game time. So if you're into the serious stuff, you can leave. We're done. So my favorite game show to watch probably, besides Jeopardy. Have you guys watched Pop Culture Jeopardy, by the way?
No.
I like crush at it.
Really?
I would just need like it's teams of three. So if I could find somebody who
knows. What is this on?
It's on Prime Video.
Oh,
okay. It's hosted by Colin Jost.
Okay.
Anyway, Jost.
Maybe
I believe you.
But my other favorite game to watch is Family Feud, and we have done this before here on Buggy Talk, but it was just Justin, so now he has a competitor.
Oh,
all right.
So we have the Brown family.
Not really good with games. Last time this happened,
this
Brown.
Is
good.
Hold on, let me get our beep button ready for Kelly and whatever
your
she
editing
might say.
Skills.
We have the Brown. That's a good point. That is a good point. So we have the Brown family and we have the Wyatt family.
All right.
So how this works, if we have time, we'll go through four. So let me see what time it is. Okay. All right. So I'll say the category, and then you both get to blurt out your answer, and whoever has the highest one gets to choose if they pass or play. Okay. And if you play, you have to get all of the blanks, right, without three wrong.
Okay.
And if you don't, then the other person gets a chance to steal. If they get just one of them on there, they get all the points. Okay. Woo. So the first one is... Name a
Buzz in for this?
No, you just say it. Name a musical instrument people strum.
Guitar.
Okay, ooh. Kelly said guitar.
Give it to her.
And that is the number one answer with 69% of the people saying that. So you can choose to pass or play, and you got to answer those ones.
There's three more?
Passing. Yeah. 100 people were surveyed, by the way.
I'm going to pass.
Okay. All right. So, Team Wyatt, you have to answer these. Name a musical instrument people strum.
Harp.
Harp is the number four answer.
Wow.
2%.
Harp.
Yeah,
2%.
Harp. Two. Thank you, those two people.
Okay.
Banjo.
Banjo is number two.
Okay.
What?
With
banjo.
21. So you just need one more, and you haven't got any wrong yet.
Okay. Now that I'm out of option. I mean, I can't think of anything right now.
You're the music guy.
I know. I'm strumming the... You don't... what else do you strum?
You got 5 seconds.
Mandolin.
Mandolin is not one.
Oh, come on, people.
Okay.
The dulcimer.
The dulcimer is not something.
Come on, listen
I'm
to some Appalachian music, people.
No. All right, come on. Come on.
You strum.
Remember, if he doesn't get this, then you have a chance to steal if you get it right.
Everything else, I'm like, what is has strings that you strum?
5 seconds.
Fiddle.
Two.
You don't strum the fiddle. I just had to say something.
The fiddle. Okay.
The cello.
Oh, no.
You don't really strum that.
It is the ukulele.
Ukulele.
Oh, man.
Okay, so, so Justin got 82 points.
Thinking about that. Right, I eliminated that when I thought of guitar, even
so
though it
is. That was difficult. Has 82 points. Okay. All right, ready? Next one. There's four possible answers again. 100 people were surveyed. Name something people can't wait for their children to get out of.
Diapers.
Oh,
okay,
dang,
Justin said diapers. It's number two.
What?
So.
Oh.
If you have the number, if yours is the number one, you get it.
I think I know what number one is.
You can. No, you have the chance.
Oh.
Yeah.
The house.
Get the house is the number one answer.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can choose if you think you can get these last two to pass or to play.
My gosh. So. Something people can't wait for their children to get out of.
Yes.
Okay.
You can pass or play.
Pass.
Okay.
I think of one. I can only think of one.
I can't wait for you to get out of the car.
No.
I don't know. I can't wait. Is it phases? Can we go with phases? Is that like?
He can't
be more specific.
Like preschool.
Oh. No.
Like the whiny phase.
Okay. Okay. One more try.
Yeah, get out of, like, sleeping in the bed with you. I don't
know.
Our kids never did that. But, all right, so that was, I did awesome.
All right, so if you get one of these, you get the points.
Okay, the teenage phase.
Yes, that is it.
Okay.
That's because I love my teenagers so much.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So you got, let's see, that's 71.
That's okay.
No, you got all 75.
Them. Oh, way nice, okay.
What is it, number three, which is school?
School, okay.
Or college.
I was going to say school.
I said preschool.
You said preschool.
But you didn't, yeah.
No, it's very
college.
Different.
Yeah, it is. You meant
very specific.
Too. Okay, so Justin is winning 82 to 75.
All right. All right.
Okay, here
Man,
we go.
This is tough.
All right, next one.
This
we
is
got
tougher
two more.
Than it sounds like, guys.
Oh, all right. It is.
What is a common fear that many people have?
Snakes.
Snakes is not on there.
What? No.
Falling off of something high.
Heights. Yeah. I'll give you that.
Okay. 50. Heights. That's true.
Okay, so Kelly, would you like to play this time?
Okay, I could probably do this.
Okay, all right. So you need the number two, number
three. If I can remember this. All right.
The number four answer.
Death?
Yeah, that was going to be my steal.
Did you survey? Oh, I couldn't make a
really
bad joke. I was going to make a really bad joke.
Snakes wasn't on there. Come on. Everyone's scared of snakes.
Not scared of death? Okay.
What are people
not snakes.
Of?
Common fear that many people have.
Spiders?
Spiders okay. is the number two answer with 25. Okay.
Throwing up.
No.
No? Okay.
That is a legitimate fear.
All right, you get one more wrong. Remember, you can steal,
okay.
Justin.
Dang. Okay. Hide spiders. I don't know.
Common fear that many people have. There are two more answers.
Being alone.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one.
Okay.
That's deep, Kelly.
No death or alone.
I know, right?
Okay, Justin.
All right, I think I have two good answers, and I got to decide. So I think flying or... No, wait. Oh, is it right?
Flying.
Oh, okay.
Flying?
If I get the next one, is it public speaking?
Public speaking.
Yeah.
You
wow.
All right, that's fine. I was
so
like,
you got 85 points. Okay. All right. So Justin is winning with 167 to... 75.
Wow. Heights is kind of tied okay. in there.
We have one more category to go, but it is worth double points. So whoever
okay.
gets this wins.
Okay.
Wins.
Right.
I was going to make
right,
it triple
it
if for some reason I needed to. So. Okay. All right. There's six this time.
Oh, gosh,
okay.
So many. Oh.
Name a place that's filled with people who don't want to be there.
Church.
Church is the number five answer with 8% of people saying that.
I want to be everywhere.
Not Bayshore people.
No.
School.
Oh, do we have to
school
get the top
is
one?
Number six.
Are we
no.
going back and forth again?
But whoever gets the highest one,
oh,
so
you
answers.
Get it.
So, Kelly,
okay.
if you think you can get number one through four answer of name a place filled with people who don't want to be there, you should play. If you don't, I don't know if you should play or pass because
I have to get how many of those? Four?
Yeah.
But I'd
four?
Have to steal it. So,
yeah, so
I may not be able to steal because I'm,
yeah, he may
I'm
not.
Totally drawing a blank here.
Pass or play?
Pass.
Okay. Which means you're going to have to get one to win.
Okay, I think I've got one.
Okay.
Oh, doctor's office. Definitely. That has, I could. What?
What? That was my one, so this
Doctor
is not good.
Nobody.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's filled. Well, I guess.
Yeah.
But, okay.
These
are actually, once, yeah.
Church over doctor's office.
I know,
that's,
right?
That's
Come
pretty
on, I didn't
bad.
Even make a survey.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, they, yeah.
It's probably had like one or two, but yeah, it wasn't that.
Where do you want to be? can't wait. The grocery store.
No.
Wow. When was this done? Like 1983?
You're aiming to.
Like, no one wants to go to the grocery store anymore.
I don't know. I can't help. All right, you get one more try. Or people, Kelly could easily take this and hold on. Would she win still? Yeah, she would win.
Oh,
she would
place win. With a place filled with people who don't want to be there.
Five seconds.
The DMV.
Three.
I don't know.
What?
Come on.
I'm shocked.
We're going to hear these and be like,
okay, name a place that is filled with people who don't want to be there.
The dentist.
No.
Oh,
that's so easy. Justin is the winner.
Okay.
I got 12 points on
you
that 24. Last.
It was 24
double.
So
what?
You ended
okay.
up with 167 plus 24.
I
want to
know
what
place is okay. more crowded, yeah. filled with people besides the doctor's office.
Jail.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Guys.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
Jail would be pretty bad. Just,
hell.
Okay, yeah. Jail's over hell.
Yes, okay. It is. Work and meetings.
Meetings, that's true.
Come on, you guys both should have known that. You were in a bunch of
meetings
today.
Already. We have more
and
after
then
this.
The cemetery.
Oh,
okay.
That's a lame one. Is it? Yeah. Are they technically
that's
people?
That's pretty funny.
at that point.
That will be next week's episode
okay.
on Boggy Talk. Well,
oh
that
goodness.
Was, you were not as good as
sorry,
I thought you
sorry, I was not good
well,
at this
just,
at
yeah,
all.
I wasn't thinking about jail. That wasn't on my radar, but it makes
that's
perfect
difficult.
Sense now.
Mm, okay.
Or hell.
Yeah, I wasn't thinking about that either.
Two places you're not going, right?
But hopefully. I mean,
yeah.
You're at work a lot.
Yeah, that's
and
yeah.
we don't know if it's you at the cemetery or not because
yeah.
are they?
But
people?
We love our jobs, so
yes.
that's not us, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not
you know,
us.
The job, all the meetings
and
associated
church.
With
yes,
it. Yeah,
absolutely.
And the church. Yeah, I mean, really, I love to be. Church.
But the moral of the story is there are 10% of the population who don't want to be in hell.
Yeah.
So don't let them go there.
That's
yes.
right.
The other 90%.
Yeah, that 30 here, like, don't go to jail. I'd rather go there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, way to bring it full circle. Well, guys, thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll see you guys next time.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.